4. HMS Chihiro, 50, Garath Bay, Kingdom of Dolar. The Earl of Thirsk turned away from the stern windows as Lieutenant Bardalon ushered his visitors into Chihiro's great cabin. "Gentlemen," the Earl said quietly. "My lord," Kaitano Raisando, as the senior officer, replied for all four of them. "Please," Thirsk gestured at the four chairs facing his desk. "Be seated." They obeyed the politely phrased command, and he stood for a moment longer, considering them, before crossing to sit behind the desk. All of them, especially Raisando and Rosale, looked exhausted. In addition, Rosale was in obvious discomfort, despite a determined effort to hide it. His left elbow had brushed the arm of his chair in sitting, and the fingers of his left hand had twitched in an automatic pain reaction where they protruded from the sling. There was more than simple exhaustion or even pain in the shadowed eyes gazing back at him, however, and he folded his hands on the desk before him. "I've read your reports, and those of your first officers, your acting first officer in your case, Captain Krall. There are, of course, certain inconsistencies. Given the confusion of a sea action, it's scarcely surprising none of you observed exactly the same things. Despite that, however, I believe a clear and consistent picture emerges, and I have so advised Bishop Stiphon and Duke Thorast." He paused, and the tension in the quiet cabin could have been sawn into chunks. "I have fully advised them," he continued after a moment, in the same calm voice, "that I fully approve of your actions. That, in fact, I believe they reflect great credit upon all four of you, and upon your ship's companies." No one actually so much as moved a muscle, but it was as if four sets of lungs had simultaneously exhaled, and the Earl permitted himself a small smile. Then he leaned forward slightly over the desk. "Don't mistake me, gentlemen. I would have been even happier if you'd managed to take one or two of the Carizians, or for that matter, if we hadn't lost five ships out of the convoy, and both galleys of the close escort as well." He smiled again a bit more thinly. "Which completely leaves aside the little matter of Prince of Dolar." None of the captains facing him replied, which didn't exactly surprise him. "I'm sure it comes as no surprise to any of you that I should feel that way," he continued. "For that matter, I'm confident each of you agree with me. But whatever we might wish, no one can simply snap his fingers and magically produce victory in a sea fight. True, you had the enemy outnumbered, and I won't pretend I haven't heard a few comments, all of them from individuals who weren't there, I might observe, to that effect. In every case, however, I have reminded those making the comments that your vessels were individually smaller, your guns were lighter, and that Caleb of Karras would have handpicked his most experienced captains for a deployment this far from Karras. In other words, gentlemen, in your very first battle, you were up against the other side's very best. Obviously, we don't want to get into the habit of assuming we'll always need a numerical advantage of 2-1. Nor, for that matter, do I think that situation will obtain indefinitely. For the moment, however, given the relative inexperience of your ship's companies and your officers, and how new all of us are to this style of naval warfare, I think you did extremely well. For the first time, a Carizian naval squadron has been turned back short of its objective. Yes, you lost one of your own vessels, and your casualties, especially yours, Sir Darrand, were severe. But at no time did you allow the engagement to degenerate into a rout, and your crews fought well from beginning to end. I see no evidence of defeatism on anyone's part, unlike the complete collapse of morale we suffered the first time we encountered Carizian galleons.